All right, we will call the meeting to order. If you'll rise for the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, our nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And will the clerk call the roll, please?
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Here.
Don.
Here.
Mark. Kurt.
Present.
Nancy.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from June 16th.
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by John Havlicek, seconded by Nancy Strand, that we approve the minutes. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
And we unanimously approve the minutes of June 16th. The next item is amendment and approval of the meeting agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, do we have an approval of the meeting agenda?
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved by John Havlicek, seconded by Bob Lynn to approve the meeting agenda. All those in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the agenda is approved. The next item is public hearings and bid awards, and there are none. And the next item on the agenda is visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there anyone that wants to share? Moving on, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. And there are none. The next item is board, commission, and committee reports, and there are none. And there is also no consent agenda, which is the next agenda item. After that, we're cruising right through here today. We have the report of other officers, and the clerk has submitted a report on the October 7th municipal election. And I will read her written report because she has some interesting points to make. Excuse me. The annual municipal election will be held Tuesday, October 7th, and this ballot will provide for the election of 36 elected positions as follows. 4 assembly members, 2 for 3-year terms and 2 for 2-year terms, 3 school board members, 1 each for 1, 2, and 3-year terms, 3 hospital board members, 2 3-year terms, 1 1-year term, 7 planning commission members, 7 library advisory board members, 7 harbor and ports advisory board members, and 5 public safety advisory board members, all with available terms of 3, 2, and 1 year. The public official's financial disclosure reporting will be required for individuals running for election to the Assembly, School Board, and Planning Commission. An incumbent re-running for office will not be required to file an additional POFD, the public official financial disclosure, if they've already filed their annual report. Individuals not currently holding elected office will be required to make a candidate financial disclosure filing. Individuals wishing to run for office for hospital board, library, harbor and ports, and public safety advisory boards are not required to fill out these forms. To date, there is a possibility of 7 propositions to be placed on the ballot. The Assembly has already approved submitting the question of opting out of candidate financial disclosure reporting to the voters. And pending action by the Assembly over the next 3 meetings, there are an additional 6 more propositions, all relating to sales and use taxes. The Assembly has until the second meeting in August to finalize these additional proposals. A draft sample ballot with all 7 possible propositions is included with this report for your review to assure the ballot proposals are clear. The first day to file for candidacy is Tuesday, July 29th. Nominating petitions and declaration of candidacy forms can be obtained from the front desk of the finance office during normal business hours or online at the borough's website. The last day to file for candidacy is 5 o'clock, August 26th. The last day to qualify and register for vote at the election is September 7th, and individuals can obtain voter registration forms at borough offices. This is the largest municipal ballot that has been submitted to the community in many, many years. 36 elected positions and 7 propositions appear to be a record. To help us assure we can provide our residents with the most efficient and secure means to cast their ballots, we are in need of election workers, and I will say dire need. The crew that has been working our elections for the last 15 to 20 years has retired, and a thank you to all of them. A push to recruit new workers in 2009 to train for future elections failed. The numerous letters and notices we have recently placed seeking new election workers have largely gone unanswered. I am asking the Assembly to search for interested workers, ask friends or family if they can lend a hand, or for any caring residents to contact Kathy immediately. My personal thank you is extended to all retired election workers that have served the community during my tenure as clerk. Those individuals are Naomi Weldy, Jean Curry, Linda Fredrickson, Polly Kieneman, Sigrid Madalin, Pamela Jensen, Carol Stedman, and Karen Haltner. When you see any of these individuals, please thank them for their many years of civic service. While saying goodbye to the retired guard and welcoming the new, my sincere appreciation is extended to 3 individuals who have agreed to step forward and work the municipal election this year. Those residents are Kathy Harris, the lone survivor of the retiring guard, Beverly Richardson, and Erica Warhatch. However, 3 is not enough to work a challenging 14 to 16 hour day. We need at least 2 or 4 more. This year's election cycle also provides for a state-run primary in August and a general election in November. We can expect our voters to become confused on ballot issues as well as where to vote as the election time grows near. I encourage anyone with questions on any of the elections to contact my office, and we will point you in the right direction for answers. And that's followed by Kathy O'Rear, City Clerk. Thank you very much, Kathy, for that. And I would encourage anybody who has an interest to talk to Kathy about being an election worker, a really important job. Moving on to unfinished business, there is item A, the Juneau appeal. I'm sorry?
Your mayor's report.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not showing online. Oh, I went too fast. I'm sorry. Mayor's report. We do have one item, and that's a resignation from the Planning Commission. Susan Thomason has resigned from the Planning Commission to retire with her husband in Central Oregon, and we thank Susan for serving the community as a Planning Commission member since 2010. The Assembly hereby declares a vacancy on the Commission and will seek letters of interest to fill the vacancy. Susan's resignation brings to the Commission's membership to 5. And if someone has an interest, contact you, Kathy?
Yes,
contact the borough clerk. On to the manager's report.
Thank you, ma'am. Chief Swihart and I had met with some community stakeholders regarding kind of some transient / homeless issues here in town. The group discussed potential problems and solutions, and we're going to continue to gather some information to try to get a better feel for what the needs are. The group included Petersburg Mental Health, Salvation Army, Mike Swarty, representing the Ministerial Alliance. Did I get everybody, Chief?
I think so.
And anyway, just trying to get the word out is what are the right places to send folks. Chief also assisted with Judge Trevor Stevens and his staff with a security assessment of the courthouse, just to make sure everything is ready in case there was any kind of emergencies there. And I wanted to congratulate the Chief, who has been selected to attend the FBI National Academy beginning in October. This is a 10-week class. that focuses on law enforcement leadership and management is only offered up to people that are viewed as high-end in their profession. So congratulations to our chief. Thanks to Power and Light for putting up the flags for the 4th of July weekend and installing all the electrical boxes that are needed for the food court. It is definitely a community effort, and we appreciate their help. Put some kind of an update from the latest SEPA meeting. It was held in Wrangell because it does have some impact on us. Official notice was given for the termination of the operations maintenance contract with Thomas Bay Power Authority. It's expected, but it has now been given. We are continuing to work with SEPA and Wrangell and the Thomas Bay Power Commission Board on a final contract that transitions to SEPA operation of TAI. That contract should be in front of the Assembly at the next meeting to ratify. And SEPA passed their annual budget, which includes some of those expenses that are expected to be handed over to them. We're working, we've got several borough employees that are helping me evaluate a company that specializes in online training for government employees. They offer about 80 online classes in issues such as ethics, safety practices, managing change, and customer service. Maybe an opportunity to provide some basic level training without the cost to bring a trainer to town. They offer full access to their training library for roughly $124 an employee per year. So I've got they're allowing us to have it tested by, I think, 5 employees right now, and I'm doing some evaluations just to see if they like the classes, if they think it's useful or not. The North Harbor skiff float had some issues with the ramp at the last set of -3 tides. Special thanks to Public Works and Ole Whitethorn for their help in kind of mandating until we could get the engineer and the construction company back. Western Dock and Bridge is expected to come back and make warranty repair as part of their contract, and they expect to be on scene this week.
Today.
Thank you. The hope is they can get this thing fixed before the -4 tides in mid-July. Tamiko is scheduled to resume work with the pile driving on the drive down project. As we've gotten past the July 1st date that allows us to start working in water again. We did not get the latest round of salmon mitigation grant in the harbor. The agency that's responsible for that picked some other projects. I wanted to thank KFSK for their ongoing reminder to people to bail their skiffs with all the water. It's really rainy weather. Helps the harbor staff immensely, and as well as the people on them, to get down there, and much easier to bail that out at that point than the harbor having to go down there and deal with something that's sunk. Property tax invoices have been mailed. They are due on September 30th. Finance is working on closing out our last year, which ended June 30th, and getting ready for the annual audit, which is scheduled for August 4th. We are targeting the week of July 14th to replace the water service at Mountain View Manor. You may remember we had a water line break going to that facility. We've kind of band-aided it for the moment, and should have started next week working on that. And we'll be getting notices out to the people in the neighborhood if it's going to affect their water service. Pump Station 5 upgrades. The project is complete. This is the big pump station on Sandy Beach Road. Public Works is working with Parks and Rec on improving the aesthetics of the site, as well as decommissioning the old pump station. Pump Station 1, Force Main project. These are force sewer lines. Phase 1 will be going out to bid soon as part of DOT's South Mordic Drive project. Goal, again, is to get that and phase 2, which is actually the pump station improvements, ready to go so it can be done in conjunction with the paving project that will occur next spring and summer. The landfill slope stabilization project is nearing completion. We slowed down a little bit as the contractor was focusing on some out-of-town projects. Rockin' Road is planning to start hauling rock to the landfill again after this past holiday, and they have until July 31st to finish up the job. The handicapped accessible van, which was a grant-funded, finally for Mountain View Manor, has made it through all of the necessary approvals, and we've placed the order with the dealer. Believe it or not, delivery won't be until November or December of this year. It's been one of those interesting dealing with the federal government on this grant. It's taken almost 2 years, I think, or a year and a half anyway. And some things I added late is maybe where we're in current negotiations with our largest union, which is PMEA. The members will be voting on the proposed contract on July 9th. And this would be for the next 3 years, so we should know by the end of the week whether they've accepted the contract or not. If they do, we will be presenting it to the assembly at the next meeting. If not, we'll go back into negotiations and decide if we're at impasse or not. So, and that's it, unless there's questions.
I have three, Steve, and one deals with the chief also. But then the first thing you mentioned on the homeless, I also noticed that United Way was offering community grants, and I was wondering if we could maybe put in for that to focus just on, you know, homeless issues and needs.
May I speak to that?
Please do.
Definitely we'll be looking at things like that. One of the issues is trying to figure out what the need is. We realized when we all got in a room together that it's not as clear-cut as just people not necessarily having a place to stay. That's why we talked about transient. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing is this mix of folks who live here who have a home necessarily that may not be up to spec,
right,
or need money for food or electricity, and that's one issue. The other is people who have come here for various reasons and suddenly it hadn't worked out and they want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're cannery processor workers, whether they're people who thought they could come up and get a job on a boat. Literally, we found somebody that watched television too much and so bought a one-way ticket and was going to get a job working on a fishing boat up here in Petersburg. I mean, so part of the problem is trying to figure out what the need is. You're exactly right. It goes to the United Way program. Is once we have an idea what the need is, then it's an issue of how do we fill that need.
Yeah, I think, like saying, it's a multifaceted issue, and it's going to have multifaceted solutions. Everything from one-way tickets to food to housing to, you know, just other support.
Yeah, and the Salvation Army is great. I mean, they,
oh, yeah,
in some ways, led the conversation because they already do so much of this that we were really unaware of. And it's right now, Petersburg Mental Health is kind of sponsoring a survey.
Right.
We're trying to gather information, and we'll get together again at some point.
And I know the need's gotten huge. When I first moved here 20 years ago, we had about 30 people or families that needed assistance that the Salvation Army was helping out. Now I know it's over 100.
Yeah.
So it has really grown. The other thing I wanted to ask, and this would involve the chief also, I really want to congratulate you for catching the gentleman who came in here trying to sell heroin. I saw that in the paper also. And I was wondering, is it appropriate to try to put together a reward trying to recruit people to give information about different offenses, especially in the drug areas?
I think it can be. At one time, I understand we had a fairly active Crime Stoppers program, mm-hmm, where the police department would answer a tip line,
mm-hmm,
that was managed by a board, but it's the activity has fallen off, and you know, like many of these other boards, we need volunteers,
sure,
you know, to come forward and manage that program. But those anonymous tips, if we offer an award, can be very effective.
Okay. So it would be worth trying to get something like that going again, or?
I think so. I think it would have some value. Yeah.
Thank you. In the other thing that hadn't been brought up that I was wondering what was going on is the ADOT working on the bridge in Nordic, and I heard that was held off for a year for lack of funding or something, you know, on the Hagen project?
If I may?
Go right ahead.
The originally, in the original plan, they were going to do this section, the bridge, the ferry station, right, this year, and from the intersection up to Sandy Beach Road next year. Alaska DOT decided to combine those two projects into one and scale them down. For example, here to the Sandy Beach originally was included a expansion of the bike path, and that's been taken out to our knowledge. So at this point, what we have is this year is all planning, and next year will be, at least at this point, both those two projects. But I'll, that is, you're exactly right. It's up to funding on the state's part. Petersburg is kind of, we're done. We funded all the parts and pieces that we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The state, on the other hand, doesn't necessarily, hasn't done that. And while it's still on their calendar to do next year, I don't know that we can
depend on it
until we get a little later or closer to next year's budget, because it'll be the assumption we have is that it'll be part of this year's ongoing budget as well as next year's appropriation.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions for you. On the pump station one, will the borough have its own inspector on that job, or will that be a state inspection?
It's our own inspectors, our own engineer. We originally wanted to try to combine it with the state's project. It became kind of problematic. So the pump station piece was purposely pulled off as called phase two, so that we're handling that portion of it ourselves.
Okay. And then on the landfill stabilization, about how far is Rock and Road? Are they about complete? Where are they at in the process?
Very close. I don't have Carl or Chris here right now to be 100% give you a percentage, yeah, but yeah. The feeling is they will have it done by the end of July.
Okay.
Any other questions? Moving on to unfinished business. Item 13-000, the Juneau appeal of Petersburg Borough boundaries. On June 27th, Juneau filed for a stay of the Superior Court decision, which had upheld the Land Boundary Commission decision. The motion is unclear to its intent, and it's untimely. Our legal counsel will be opposing the stay, demonstrating how far down the line Petersburg has already gone in borough formation. And I don't know if you have any additional information to share there.
Other than just an observation, our attorney doesn't understand what Juneau is trying to do. One of the arguments that we made, that the Petersburg Borough made to the court, was that we had gone down the process of forming a borough, and that therefore Juneau's appeal should be thrown out. The court said, not a big deal, and really said, you know, we're not worried about that. Now, it appears on the last day that Juneau had an opportunity to do this, Juneau filed this appeal that kind of came out of the blue. And if you read between the lines, what they're saying is they don't want Petersburg to do any more borough formation issues because it may damage their own case. As using Jim Brennan's language, it's kind of untimely to wait this long. There's no guarantee the court will accept it or that the court will allow us to respond. That's what we're trying to figure out right now. But they did record it and file it, and now it's a matter of trying to figure out what is it going to mean. Kathy and I kind of spoke this morning. You know, it potentially could have an impact on tax notices that were just mailed to people that lived in the disputed area, and let alone all the mapping work that we've done in that area. It doesn't affect the, you know, other half of the borough, but anything, you know, we just mailed out tax notices, so potentially that could pose a problem if the Supreme Court chooses to issue a stay or acknowledge this. So we don't know yet.
And do we have a time frame when we anticipate a response from the court?
Do not.
Okay.
At least at this time.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to new business, we have Ordinance 14-2A. An ordinance limiting senior citizen sales tax exemption to those who have obtained and maintained an exemption based on a qualifying application submitted by December 31st, 2019. The ordinance, if passed by the Assembly, will be presented to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 election. If approved by the voters, no senior exemption cards would be issued after December 31st, 2019. Seniors that have qualified to already obtained or maintained exemption cards by that date, December 31st, 2019, will continue to be able to use their existing card after the sunset date.
If they qualify, mm-hmm. if they continue to meet qualifying standards as presented by other...
That's correct.
Okay.
So do we have a motion?
So move.
Second.
We have a motion by John Haverlick and seconded by Nancy Strand to consider Ordinance 2014-12. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to just make a comment on it. When I looked at the draft ballot that Kathy put together, I'd like to see a sentence added in there on this particular item that would say something that as of that date, there will be no further senior exemption, something to that effect.
Yes.
The language on these, as far as what appears on the ballot, is going to be really important. We've gone back and forth with the attorney on some of this, and may come down to a meeting where we mm-hmm. get the attorney on the phone and talk about specifically how the ballot language needs to look. And it's trying to make sure we're saying the thing that says what we're trying to say in a way that people understand, and we've laughed among us because three of us have read the same exact sentences and take it the whole totally different way. So
I've run it past a number of people, and that's really the only one that seems sticks out.
Thank you.
That's a red flag, so to speak.
So did you want to offer that? Is that an amendment or just a modification?
That's up to Bob, actually. We're still working with that ballot language. We didn't take that into consideration
okay.
before we have you guys approve the ballot.
Okay.
We can try to have it corrected.
So we have a motion on the table. Can the clerk call the roll?
May I have comments on that, Cindy?
Yes, go right ahead.
Regards to this and the other ones, my only two cents are that, regardless of our own opinions, I firmly believe this is a decision that should be made by the voters, and I'll be voting to approve this measure so that it can appear on the October ballot.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Anyone else? Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
No.
Nancy.
Yes.
John Haverlick.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And Bob.
No.
Motion passes 4-2.
Correct.
Yes.
Moving on to Ordinance 2014-13, an ordinance eliminating the senior citizen sales tax exemption applicable to non-borough state residents. If passed by the Assembly, the ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick and seconded by Bob Lynn that we approve Ordinance 2014-13. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to Ordinance 2014-14, an ordinance limiting the senior citizen sales tax exemption to the purchase of groceries and residential heating fuel. If passed by the Assembly, the ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick, seconded by Nancy Strand to approve Ordinance 2014-14. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call a roll?
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that ordinance passes unanimously. The next ordinance is Ordinance 2014-15, an ordinance raising the sales tax exemption cap from $1,200 to $2,000. If passed by the Assembly, the ordinance would be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved by Bob Lynn and seconded by Nancy Strand to approve the ordinance. Is there any discussion?
Just one question. Why did we decide, what was the, how did we settle on $2,000?
Actually, the proposal was $1,500, and John moved that we raise it to $2,000, and the Assembly passed that.
Okay.
Can I ask Jody a question, please?
Sure.
Jody, in this $2,000, that still puts us at the lowest level of anybody in Southeast, doesn't it?
No, Wrangell just changed theirs. Theirs was at $1,200. They just recently, their Assembly changed it to $1,500. Sitka's is $1,500. And I can't remember any other in Southeast. But
Juneau's quite a bit higher.
Yeah, I believe Juneau's $7,500.
And when this was on the ballot before, $2,500 was what was turned down, right?
No, was it $1,700? $1,700 was voted down by, I believe, 2 votes. It was a really, really narrow margin.
I just wonder if $2,000 is high enough. I mean, I like that Juneau's is $7,500. That sounds good to me. But I'll go for $2,000 at a time.
Is there any other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And Cindy?
Yes. The motion passes unanimously. Moving on to Ordinance 2014-16, an ordinance establishing a one-year residency and physical presence requirement for the purposes of obtaining a senior citizen sales tax exemption. If passed by the Assembly, the ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. I have a question. Is there any way we can just pass this without putting it up to the voters?
Go ahead, Kathy.
No, it wouldn't be, because code reads any change in exemption status.
Okay. Have to be voted on. Thank you.
So are you still seconding?
Yeah.
Moved by John Haverlick, seconded by Nancy Strand, that we approve this ordinance. Is there any more discussion? And I guess my question would be, how would we go about establishing the residency and physical presence?
By PFD, because in order to qualify for your permanent benefit, then you have to be in Alaska for a year. And we actually have, my staff has access to the Permanent Fund Dividend website, so we can see when people apply and if they are eligible or not, because that's how we base our senior exemption for property taxes. Right?
Okay, so it's the actual application, not the receiving of a PFD.
Well, you have to, I believe this one says you have to be eligible for a Permanent Fund Dividend. So it's not just applying for one, because you could get turned down, but actually have to be eligible.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And the motion, the ordinance passes unanimously. Moving on to ordinance 2014-17, an ordinance providing to impose an excise tax on cigarettes and other tobacco products. If approved by the Assembly, the ordinance would be referred to the voters at the October 7, 2014 municipal election. If approved, a wholesale excise tax of $2 per pack of cigarettes plus an annual consumer price index adjustment and 45% of the wholesale price on other tobacco products will be placed on those products that are brought into the borough to be offered for sale. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy Strand and seconded by John Haverlick to approve ordinance 2014-17. Is there any discussion? And I would ask, does this include the electronic cigarettes as well?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing no other discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And that motion is approved, or ordinance is approved unanimously. Moving on to our last ordinance, Ordinance 2014-18, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.85, which is Historic Preservation of the Municipal Code, and providing for an appointed advisory commission. At the June 2nd meeting, the Assembly was presented with a petition signed by 50 borough residents requesting that the prior city ordinance number 827 be readopted as a borough ordinance. The supporters of the petition informed the ordinance would promote and enhance knowledge of the history of Petersburg. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is that Kurt?
Yeah, or Jay, either one.
It's been moved by John Haverlick and seconded by Kurt Wallhuter that we approve Ordinance 2014-18. Is there any discussion?
Does this go on the ballot too if we approve?
No.
So, because it's a resolution. No.
Nope.
How come we don't have to put this to a vote?
It's an advisory.
it doesn't require it to be Assembly action.
Yeah.
I could say to you guys, it came forward to you in what I call a friendly petition manner with 50 signatures on it. And I believe if you would have put them to the test where they had to actually go out and push an initiative, they would have gotten it. And I think the initiative's borderline is less than 50 signatures.
Oh.
So that's why it's coming to you this way.
Well, plus here's 50 names of people who apparently are willing to serve on the commission. So
that's the case.
And if not, we'll recruit them for elections, eh?
And it is appointed, not elected.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we add a provision in here that if the commission does not meet for a 2-year period, that it's dissolved. Or consecutive for 2 years, something to that effect.
So that would be an amendment to the motion?
To the proposed ordinance.
Do we have to have a motion on the ordinance first?
You've got a motion out there to adopt.
That's right, we do.
I'm
sorry.
This is an amendment.
Is there a second on the amendment?
I'd second it. I'd like to see it annually, but 2 years is fine.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll on the amendment that if the commission doesn't meet for 2 years, it would be dissolved?
Okay, Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Jay?
Yes.
And that amendment is unanimously approved. And now we move to the ordinance itself for the Historic Preservation commission. Is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Okay, this is to adopt it as amended.
As amended.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And that is unanimously approved. We now have a Historic Preservation Commission. Moving on to Resolution 2014-09, a resolution increasing the monthly E911 surcharge to $2 per month. The borough has an estimated expense of E911 improvements and maintenance of $500,000 over the next couple of years, with only $29,700 currently available in the E911 Emergency Communications Fund. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy Strand and seconded by John Haverlick to approve Resolution 2014-09. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Jay?
Yes.
And that resolution is unanimously approved. Moving on to communications. Have there been any communications to share? We did actually have one letter that Mark sent along, and that was on the Transboundary River issue. And unfortunately, I've got it in my email and not as an attachment, but it was building on, we had already weighed in before on transboundary rivers and activities that are, mining activities that are happening up in Canada. And it's a request from a group affiliated with Trout Unlimited to continue to apply pressure to pay attention to what's happening on transboundary rivers. Moving on to assembly discussion items. Are there any recognitions? John?
I have four. First ones, I'd like to recognize Dave Berg for all the great things he does for the community. Between the volunteer fire department helping run that and the fireworks and, you know, tourist industry to bring business to town, and he's just involved in everything, and I just really appreciate all his hard work. He probably should be on the payroll, you know. The other one is Marvin King over at the cold storage. The guy is always there. I know that he talked to him the other day. They provide $40,000 worth of free ice just for the fishermen coming through, and now I've taken advantage of that. And he's 4th of July, he was working all day to take orders and help out and provide ice, and he's really appreciate all his service. And the other one is Rob Thomason. I've been in education for 40 years, either working as administrator, teacher, or just helping out, and I've only had the privilege of meeting two good superintendents. I worked for one for a couple of years, and Rob was the second one that got very involved in the community, and Susan, his wife, and it was really nice to see, and I think we'll really miss him. He was a very positive role model. A lot of them don't even go into the schools. Rob was in there every day and in the community every day, and aggressively pushed an excellent education and leadership. I really appreciate that. It's a rare thing, and we'll miss him.
Thank you. Anybody else? Those are good ones. Good points.
Yeah, I was going to say how great Donnie is, but everybody always says that for all the stuff he did on the 4th of July.
And his dad makes great ribs.
Oh, yeah, does he, yeah. But you know, Donnie was excellent. Everywhere.
Moving on to item B under assembly discussion items is the Southeast Transportation Plan. And this is something I asked to have put on the agenda. The Department of Transportation has put out a draft Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan, which I would encourage all residents to take a look at it on their website. You have until, I believe, August 30th to place a comment about the plan. Things that are of particular interest to us are reduced ferry plans, and also the road from Petersburg to Cake is part of the plan that will affect Southeast Alaska. It's really interesting to look at what the state's projection is for population and travel in Southeast Alaska. And I would like to see our assembly work with other communities, particularly Wrangell, in putting together a letter in response to the Southeast plan. Their prediction and their intent is to move resources and money to the more populated areas of the state and de-emphasize travel in Southeast Alaska. And I think that will have a very definite economic impact on us. So, is there anybody else that has any thoughts on that?
I just find it interesting that those more populated areas of the state, when the ferry system first started, were totally against it and called it a fancy cruise, a state-sponsored cruise opportunity, yet now they want all the benefits. So, I support working on a letter with with Wrangell, most notably.
I would agree working on a letter. I looked at their website also and what they proposed, the reduction, I think has a significant effect on the Southeast communities.
And one thing for folks who don't know what MAP 21 is, it's the transportation legislation, federal legislation, Moving Ahead for Prosperity in the 21st Century, I think is the full title. And it actually had in the language that there would be federal funds that could be made available to ferry systems, not when they consider surface transportation, they consider ferries as part of that surface transportation. And we have three mainline ferries that DOT is talking about retiring. I think I wrote down the date, it's like 2024, I believe. We've got 10 years left. Those three mainline ferries are the Matanuska, the Taku, and the Malaspina, all of which serve Petersburg, and they may or may not replace them depending on how funding goes forward in the future. And of course, that's largely federal dollars enter into that picture. So I would encourage anybody to have their own look at the plan and make their own comments as well. And if the clerk could draft a letter and we could consider it at the next meeting, that would be very helpful. And then the last item on our agenda is 14-196, DEC's intent not to change current herbicide regulations. Discussion has been requested on this subject matter to determine if officials from DEC and DOT should be invited to the community to discuss the subject matter with our residents.
I am very adamant that they should be here and that we need to talk to them. We had several people, especially from out the road, talk about how their water could be negatively impacted by spraying, and I would just like to have them here and get the exact list of what they're going to use and the impacts that would have on their population, everything from our fish creeks to people's personal water supply.
I agree. And I think probably timing for that would be after the summer to be able to have as many residents as possible. If we could set something like that up, that would be very, very, very helpful. The last item on the agenda is Kurt's.
I so move.
Second.
And that was a motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is concluded. Thank you very much.